No question about it. We're starting to see some sluggishness come into the real estate market in terms of some of the figures that are coming out. This week, we saw the new home sales decline again when the data was released late in the week. New home sales declined 1.7% in the month of July. That is three of the past 4 months that we have seen a decline in the sale of new homes. The annual rate right now is at 627,000 units, and that is the lowest rate in 9 months, a nine-month low on new home sales. The prior 3 months were revised down by a total of 13,000 units, and that contributed to that figure reaching a nine-month low. Now, the long-term uptrend line for new home sales remains intact. We have not broken through the long-term uptrend line yet. And so that suggests that the market is okay. Certainly not looking at anything robust at this point, but we certainly could say that the market is okay. There was a 52% drop in the Northeast in new home sales, and obviously that had a tremendous effect on the overall national number. On the other hand, it's been a little volatile because there was a double-digit gain in the Northeast in the prior month. There were also modestly low numbers in the South, but increases showed up in the Midwest and also in the West. As far as inventories of new homes for sale, they rose 2%. They now stand at the end of July at 309,000 units. That's the highest level since March of 2009. So available supply has picked up to 5.9 months. A six-month supply would be consistent with a balanced or a normal market. So we're certainly within that range at 5.9 months. If you take a look over on the existing side, the supply there has held steady at 4.3 months as of the end of July because inventories are simply sparse because demand, current demand for existing homes is outstripping the supply. The inventory supply of existing homes. If we take a look at prices, the median new home sales price on a year-over-year basis has declined by 1%. The median new home sales price declined 1% on a year-over-year basis. That's the largest decline, well, let's say it's the worst figure since 2012. Even though it's only 1%, because prices had been rising. So we keep an eye on all of this. FHFA house prices, meanwhile, are up 6.5% on a year-over-year basis. That compares with the consumer price index gain year-over-year of just 2.9%. Now, I mentioned existing home sales. They were slightly lower in July by 0.7% to basically a 5.3 million unit annual rate. That's the lowest since February of 2016. So we look at the figures across the board. We see that we could say steady. We could say steadiness in the housing market. But those earlier times when we saw some really sizable increases, they're not happening right now. Just not happening. Median existing home prices did very, very well year over year. They are up 4.5%. Interesting disparity there. The median new home sales price is down 1% in the last year, but the median existing home price is up 4.5%. And I think that probably one of the factors there is the scarcity of existing homes for sale could be a factor in that 4.5% year-over-year gain, which is better than the 2.9% consumer price index increase over the past year. So all of that going on out there, we're keeping an eye on all of this, of course, as we monitor the economy. I would say the monitoring of the economy right now would dictate saying that it's okay. It's okay. We have a year-over-year real gross domestic product growth rate on the books as of the current figures that are available of 2.8%. That's a good figure. So hopefully that will continue. Our toll-free line, 1-800-934-2221. That is our contact number. Let's get Mark on the line in Naperville. Mark, it's your turn.
Hello, Bob. Thank you for taking my call. I have an idea for protecting Social Security benefits. And this idea is like if we can develop an algorithm by which half of the employers or something of the employer contribution to the Social Security per employee goes into a 401k type account invested in a target fund consistent with the retirement age of that employee on the condition that that money could not be touched until retirement. I'm just wondering if something like this can help or work.
I just don't know where the votes would come from because Congress has been unwilling to allow the privatization of anything related to Social Security. George W. Bush, the president, made a proposal to invest a small portion of the Social Security fund in the stock market. If that had been done, that would have done extremely well because he made that proposal when the stock market was at lower levels, much lower levels, during his two terms. So if they had taken up that idea to place a small portion in the stock market, which would have to be indexed, then that money would have done extremely well. Unfortunately, Congress, which can't seem to agree how many days in the week there are anymore, they're simply dysfunctional. They're incapable of governing.
Well, maybe there was the condition I'm talking about is that money cannot be touched until Social Security retirement age. And maybe the concern in the past was, you know, if that money is going to be touched prior, then there is a risk in the stock market. But also this money could be invested in 30-year treasuries of the U.S. government or 25, or which would give certain returns.
Well, they already invest a lot of the money in they already invest the money in the equivalent of U.S. treasuries right now. They do that right now.
But I thought it's all IOU. I thought that money.
Well, they consider it the equivalent because that's the rate of interest it earns is the equivalent. It earns the market rate of interest when it's invested.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're right. There's no money there. The whole thing is you're right. Because you know why? Because all the money is getting all more and more, and eventually all of the money is getting paid out of the people who are currently working paying Social Security tax, and then they take that money and they pay it out to the beneficiaries. And that's where we're headed. And so the whole thing is under the unified budget. There's no question about it. This whole concept of a trust fund with money out there, yeah, it's IOUs. You're absolutely correct. But I don't see anyone, first of all, I don't see anyone politically in Washington stepping up on this issue. It's become the third rail of politics, and they don't want to touch it. They don't want to touch Medicare either in terms of making those fiscally responsible. They don't want to go near it. On the other hand, I don't see the votes in Congress to get something done on this because they just are, well, they're totally dysfunctional. And they've proved it time and again themselves. They prove it themselves. 1-800-934-2221. Ed is on the line listening to the mighty WLS Chicago. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Bob. This is Ed in Chicago. I've got a large portion of my money in money markets that are not covered by FDIC, and I'm trying to find out if that is a problem. The reason I have the money in the money market accounts is that I'm not sure how long I'm going to live, and I don't want to tie up my money in a CD for a longer period of time or even a shorter period of time so that it would be a hindrance to my heirs. and I'm wondering if there would be a problem with keeping it in money markets at this point in time.
I think if you're with quality companies, companies like Vanguard, companies like Fidelity, any of the high-quality companies, I can only speak for myself. I don't have a problem having money in money market funds because I'm worried about it. But, I mean, you would have to speak for yourself on that issue as to whether you're comfortable with it. There is another way for you to do this, which is to just own short-term treasury bills, which can be liquidated anytime.
Okay.
You could use, for example, if you owned 91-day treasury bills, three-month treasury bills, then those monies can be liquidated at any time, and they're perfectly safe. Not only that, the interest is exempt from state and local tax. So that's certainly something for you to consider. You would not, for example, you would not have to pay the Illinois state income tax on the interest you earned on a treasury bill. So that might be an increased incentive for you to take a look at like something like that. And the rates have been increasing as the Federal Reserve continues to increase short-term rates. And so that certainly is something else that's going on. Ed, I do appreciate the call. Now, that was an interesting speech that Fed Chair Jerome Powell gave at Jackson Hole, Wyoming this week. I hope many of you had an opportunity to read parts of it, or I hope even more that you've had a chance to go to the Grand Tetons in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. But there's no question about it that he has made it clear that he's going to continue to watch inflation, but he's not particularly upset about inflation right now. And he certainly has made it clear that he's going to gradually increase short-term interest rates until they get to some level of normal. And he doesn't seem to be flinching in any way from the program that he has set forth, which he basically inherited from Chair Yellen, his predecessor, which is to gradually increase rates of interest as the economy grows and as employment grows, and as inflation remains manageable. I think that would be a synopsis of his view, and I think it's a view that's generally accepted at this juncture.